Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to watch on Bravo. I'm Ben Mandelker and joining me is the wonderful and hilarious Ronnie Karam. Hey Ronnie, what's going on? How's your break?
Hi Ben, happy new year. Everything's so different, Ben.
I know, it's so weird. Getting back into the swing of things after a nice, you know, we had like a week off, which was, oh my God, did I need that week so badly, so badly.
It was amazing. It was amazing, but then it led to a 2-day binge of Housewives shows and all the shows that we had missed. And wow, that was a lot. It was a lot of Shannon crying, yeah. Shannon Bedore crying, and this Potomac reunion. Wow, intense to the end.
I watched this reunion twice because, you know, initially I watched it like last Monday because I was like, I can't wait a week to find out what happens. But then at the same time, I was like, I'm on vacation and I absolutely refuse to open up my laptop to take notes on a TV show during vacation. Like, I can't. Like, I actually tried as best I could to kind of disconnect from just like all podcast Bravo stuff. So I was pretty quiet on social media all week, et cetera. And like, I was just slow in terms of responding to emails, et cetera. But I was like, I have to watch Potomac. I have to. And so...
Oh, not me. I needed a break from my break. I mean, I was like, I'm going to have to be cut out of this house if I don't do something. And I really wanted to watch Potomac, so I watched it. So I probably won't know what any of my notes said because it was actually a few days ago that I watched
That's
it.
Okay.
But I loved it.
It was great.
And I sat there taking notes on it for 3 damn hours because it was so long and I had to keep pausing. And I was like, oh, look at that look Giselle just made. I'm going to rewind that and watch that 10 times and look through Instagram.
It was a great, great reunion. It was so good. There was so much to talk about. And we're recapping it today, by the way. So we will be diving into it. It's a lot to talk about. But before we do that, we're very excited. You know, January, it's award season in Los Angeles. And Watch What Crappens is no exception. The nominees for the 2021 Crappies Awards have just been released. And you can go to our website, watchwhatcrappens.com, and there's a big old link there to go to the ballot because you can vote. The categories are open for voting. The ceremony will be held on January 14th. We're going to be doing it as a live broadcast virtual show. We will have news about when the tickets go on sale as soon as possible. But, you know, everyone's just getting back from the new year from vacation, and that includes, like, everything. So we're getting everything up and running. But in the meantime, definitely go cast your ballots. There are some really, really fun nominees. The categories, we got Best Bravo Show of the Year. We actually have a new category, Best Non-Bravo Show, but it's one that we covered. So like Selling Sunset is on there, Great British Baking Show, etc. We got Best Bravo Celebrity, Best Roni Moment. Oh, because we have discovered over the years that Roni kind of dominates. So rather than to give other shows like a moment in the quote unquote spotlight, as much as this award ceremony is a spotlight, we have a Best Bravo Moment, and then we have a special category for Best Roni Moment because we know the Roni moments would just dominate the other moments. And there's just a ton of really fun categories in here: Outstanding Achievement in Business, Thirstiest Bravo Celebrity, Best Friend of, Best Family Member, Best Off-Camera Influence. There's just lots of good stuff. So go check it out and tell all your friends. We want to get like lots of people voting, and there's only 10 days to do it. So don't wait. And it sounds like an infomercial, but it's really fun. It's really, really fun. We had so much fun putting it together.
Yeah, it's going to be a really fun show. We'll have a lot of special guests and surprises, etc., even though we're doing this from our homes. But guess what? So we're our guests. Yeah. So it's all going to work out great, everybody. So find that. Go to our social media. We'll announce ticket links and all that the second that we get them. Okay?
Yeah. Wow. I'm just looking at these. I'm sorry. I'm just like getting lost in these nominations because we have a category for best quote. And just like looking at these quotes just makes me feel so warm. And in fact, there's a quote from today's episode. Sneaking in at the end of the year, Robin Dixon gets nominated for best quote. I am so glad Juan Dixon isn't here right now.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That snuck in.
That's the thing everyone's saying.
Well, we weren't here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's also some good Cameron work on the new Dallas episode that previewed last week, which we'll be covering later in the week because, you know, we saw it early with the rest of you, whoever has Bravo on demand or whatever. Fucking Cameron Westcott talking about coronavirus.
No, I haven't seen it yet. That makes me so nervous.
Wow. You are going to be triggered.
Good viruses get you infected. Better.
Bad viruses get everything.
Smart virus. No, what it is dumb viruses get you infected. Smart viruses get everything. A little rusty on my Cameron there.
Hilarious. But going into the new year, happy new year, everybody. And just remember,
I've closed the old bedoor and opened a new one.
For New Year's, I got a little soundboard. So have fun, everybody, because I'm going to annoy the hell out of you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it because I was always the soundboard guy over here, but mine was clunky because I did it through iTunes and it was like not easy. And so now I am happy to have you be our little soundboard dude.
Okay, so let's get to Real Housewives of Potomac Reunion Part 3.
This is a lot.
Where Kyle Richards betrays me.
This is a big one. This is a big one. So where we left off was Candace, of course, has just, you know, gone crying off the set because she is just so distraught about something. And Andy is being really patronizing and saying, well, Monique, I mean, isn't it a little odd that you're not emotional right now? Like, why aren't you upset? You're a woman. You should be crying.
You have boobies. People with boobies should cry, okay? And she's like, yeah, I'm not built like that. And, you know, Candace is sobbing. You just see Candace walking off. And he's like, but were you not upset? She's like, of course I was upset. Absolutely I was upset. I was very upset. And he's like, but why didn't you say that you're upset? In tears. I want you to write I'm very upset. In tears. You have boobies.
And then Candace is there in her dressing room crying to Chris, who, by the way, is in like once again, like still holding on to the dream of Justin Timberlake 2005, you know, whatever that album was, with his little vest. Like, he's still holding on to that dream of sexy back, okay? So he's there, and she's like, I can't take the lying, the lying, the lying. I'm like, what is the lying? What lying happened, okay? Like,
her lying is, she's saying that Monique is lying because she's saying that the glass being thrown was the impetus for the fight, when the glass being thrown was later, and that the hair flick was first. So she's very, very, very upset. Yes. And so upset that she's going to do a full telenovela by herself in her dressing room with a roll of Bounty paper towels folded up into tiny little squares.
Oh, man. You know, the thing is this. I suspect that she was saying the lying was about how Monique said that she had nothing to do whatsoever with the social media posts that are going out, because that's what she seems to be singularly obsessed with. And at the at our last episode that we recapped this, we talked about how we really felt that Candace seems more upset about the idea that she might be the sort of girl that would get into a fight than the actual fight herself. And then that just continues this episode, because she is really seems to be most angry about the fact that there were tweets going out saying that Candace started the fight. And like, I think the fact that like she feels like Monique's camp put that out there, that she started the fight when she didn't. And by the way, when we look at the tape, it's ambiguous at best. Like, Monique maybe barely started it, but the truth is Candace was like, it's like a 51-49 split or whatever, or I don't know what our percentage was last time. But the point is this, Candace needs to take a seat.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's clear Monique started it because she was doing the hair flicking and yeah, all of that. And I guess this is the point in this recap where we have to say, Bravo does not condone violence. Okay?
I'm laughing at it.
Crappens does
point.
Not condone violence, you know? It's like, but it's been hours and hours and hours of Candace crying about this fight. So that's where we're at. Okay. So Monique is like, you know, I did have emotions. And Andy's like, really? Tell it to this orange cushion because Candace is not here. Please tell this orange cushion what you think. Because they keep cutting to the orange cushion on Candace's chair while she's storming. Andy's just going to film it anyway. He's like, I'm a father now. Okay. I'm very busy. I've been here 10 hours. Can we just get through this?
Pretty much. And so Monique gives us her story, which is that she was triggered by the hand gesture and it took her back to a place that when she was a child, and it really wasn't about Candace, and she just snapped, you know, and that's what it was about. It was about like a childhood memory that was triggered.
Yeah, she's like, I was just a child. I hadn't learned of essential oils yet. And they're like, that's not going to work. All right. So Candace comes back out and Andy's like, okay, JJ from Boca has an interesting question. Why is everybody in Boca partying on boats right now during COVID?
Great question.
Kidding, but a lot of gay Florida coming out, I think,
for sure. You know, I'm already saying, like, on the bonus episode this week, I cannot wait to talk about gays over COVID. This is going to be the most fun thing of all time. You don't know what it is, tune so in. It's like, gonna be great.
JJ from Boca has a question, possibly from a yacht full of shirtless gays without masks on. Monique, were you not invited to events by the other women, or production? Was production kicking you out, icing you out, basically? And Robin's like, well, she said that if there are group events, don't invite me, so it made it easy for us. We didn't have to, which is why I had a monologue about why we were not going to invite her every single event.
I mean, and it worked out well, because at every event that we went to, at least one time that night, I would say, I am so glad Monique Samuels isn't here right now.
And Wendy's like, I was at a sip and see, and I didn't want any altercations, Andy. And Andy's like, okay, well, why did it take so long to press charges, Candace? Because it looks like you might have done it out of spite, because there wasn't an apology. And she's like, I did what I did, reluctantly Andy, because I felt I had no choice when I started to see you paint this narrative on social media.
Yep, this is it. This is it right here. She's like, I felt I had no choice when I'm watching you start to paint this narrative that is untrue, that is clearly coming from you, using bloggers and whomever else, the media, to skew this narrative. So she basically says right here, she escalated this to the courts because she didn't like the narrative that was being painted of her. So that was really what her beef was. Her beef was that, like, she didn't like what was going on with her image. Her beef was not, like, I sustained, like, physical trauma, etc. Or mental.
Oh, God, Candace. So then Monique doesn't really help herself because she's like, oh, I never reached out to any blogger. I mean, look. Monique, do not defend yourself in court. And she's very smart to have gotten a really good lawyer, you know, because this is not a case you want to defend yourself like this. She goes, I never reached out to any blogger. I mean, okay, my family was in town and I told my family, and then there was one friend who was there who I told. So I know who did it. I know the person who leaked.
Monique, who has like the entire like crux, the foundation of this entire drama, is because her friend Gigi turned on her and started trying to tell rumors about her to everyone in the cast, then goes and starts running her mouth when she has a friend there. I don't know. I just feel like I wouldn't even say, what are you thinking? But like, are you surprised that this happened? Because I think it's fine to run your mouth with a friend, because honestly, there's nothing wrong with saying, like, I got into a fight and she, you know, in her perception, she thought that Candace swung the glass first or whatever. But, like, when she says it here, like, well, there was one friend, and she acts like, oh, that's, like, you know, like, it, like, she says it in a way as if, like, that's, like, that's, like, an edge case that maybe that friend could have told someone, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, well, I mean, it still came from my camp, but I didn't do it, but someone at my house did it. And Andy's like, gotta move on, come on, gotta move, we're moving on now.
Yeah, where'd this come from?
Oh, really?
This is him, like, wanting to get back to, like, he's bored right now, but I'm like, why do you want to move on when everything's always good? Every single time, he's like, oh, we've talked about this for 15 minutes already, you know?
Well, it's your question, dude. He asks a question, and then he gets mad that people are answering. But he's just not letting Monique have any room here in this entire thing. He starts belittling her in this one,
yeah,
which is
that
really
was bad. I kind of got the feeling that Andy was trying to be on the side of like, we're against violence. You know, I felt like he was trying to sort of like really nail that home. And I think that he kind of like overcorrected, not to give him any sort of credibility here or any credit here, but I kind of get the vibe that he overcorrected a little bit and didn't realize like really kind of how bad he came off on this.
Well, it's a classic Housewives mistake, right? Like, you go through a season of doing Housewives, you read all the tweets while the season is going on, and you're like, oh my god, they hate me because I was mean to this person, so now no matter what, in the next season, I'm going to be nice to this person. But then the next season starts, and you're being really nice to that person no matter what, but that person becomes a giant asshole, and then the audience turns on them. And so,
are you talking about Lisa Rinna? Let's be honest.
It's you're correcting in the wrong time. I mean, it's being filmed in advance and people's ideas and their minds change as they see more and more things unfold, you know?
So either way, like, hey, how, Monique, how are you not furious at Karen when Karen said she would have pressed charges? And basically Monique is like, well, you know, I was upset, but I respected her opinion and we're grown and we can say that we don't agree and we can just move on. So there's that.
Yeah, and Andy's like, well, who thought that taking legal actions was going too far? And Robin goes, well, legal actions never crossed my mind, never! Which is silly, because Robin and Giselle have decided, okay, people were mad that the charges were pressed, so we're going to suddenly be super against that.
Well, I mean, they were which, even on the show, they were, like, even... They seemed like they were a little surprised that it was escalating to that point. I think they were just there to... you know, to shame Monique. They were like, this is a great opportunity for us to play the high and mighty card and just like shame Monique. I didn't get the sense on the show that they were like really, really excited or like really trying to like manipulate Candace into go for legal action. Maybe I missed something. It's possible. But,
I don't remember.
I mean, actually, technically, Giselle...
Now that you say it, I'm like, did they?
Giselle might have, like, hinted at it. And in fact, she even said, she's like, well, I want a legal action, but I didn't want the consequence to be that she goes to jail. And it's like, well...
And he's like, so what did you think was going to happen? And she's like, I don't know, an ankle bracelet. Da.
Yeah, way to go, an ankle like bracelet that, during the middle of pandemic. Oh, actually, though, this is pre-pandemic, so never mind.
Yeah, she's like, I just want a community service. Ah. And Candace is like, can I just say that I'm an evil villain for taking her away from her kids? You attacked me. You should have been thinking about your kids then.
Oh, please. She was thinking about a child. You. So the other thing is that, by the way, general note about Giselle. Was it me or did Giselle seem totally like... I think she was still reeling from the Pastor Holy Whore moment with Monique's binder.
Oh, yeah. She got
binder. After that binder,
I mean, Giselle was just straight up bindered on this show. Like, it's like that binder came out and just whacked her in the head, and she was like an angry bird. You know, like seeing her sitting there with like question marks swirling around her head.
She was 100%. She was not like, we've seen Giselle at these reunions. And she was down for the count. She could not come up with good responses. She was quiet as hell. She was just like, I don't think I've ever seen someone get so destroyed in episode one of a reunion that by episode three, they still couldn't really muster any, you know, stamina to be shady.
I think she was just so furious the rest of the time. I think she was furious that they let her bring the binder. I think
she was Giselle was
probably pissed off that she wasn't being protected. You know,
I think it's probably a bunch of different things. And I think that ultimately she was definitely in her head. She was not present. After that binder moment, she was 100% not present at this reunion. Oh, well.
Yeah. In my head, in my Jamala,
Jamala, Jamala, la, la, la.
So Andy's like, so Monique, why would you countersue when you already admitted to your pastor that Candace didn't deserve it? Okay, why would you countersue? I mean, come on. I have a basic knowledge of the law from like Law and Order and Judge Judy, but even I know why you would countersue.
Monique,
because you don't want to have to pay millions of dollars and go to jail.
Maybe. Exactly. No, Monique actually had her like a good answer, which is I took my attorney's advice. Like, thank you. Just nip it there. And then...
And Candace is just going, her quack lawyer told her to do it. That's why, her quack lawyer. And Giselle's like, well, the countersuit was assault. And Candace did not assault Monique, which we know is a bunch of bullshit because we just saw it.
And Candace goes, I like this. Candace goes, well, those two cases canceled each other out. And your quack attorney knew that. That's why he told you to countersue. I'm like, so the quack attorney who got her out of a legal bind is, I think that's actually considered a good attorney.
He's a lawyer. Good attorney. Yeah, he's a good attorney. Your attorney lost you.
Yeah, idiot. Your attorney cost you time and money because you had no case whatsoever, which she probably knew anyway because she just wanted a safe face.
So, yeah, that's what I thought, too. I was like, actually, I think her attorney won this one.
And literally. Then Monique brings up something that I never even thought about, but actually totally, totally matches or fits with like a larger picture of Candace, which is that apparently Monique says that Candace's attorney had said that we're going to sue you for millions and Bravo's going to capture it all. And like, I never actively think about Candace as being like, you know, a gold digger or someone who's like out for money. But the truth is that she has been kind of like a mooch when it comes to like money. And it would not surprise me if there actually was like an intent to kind of just scam a few $100,000 out of Monique from this.
Yeah, I mean, she was looking at a $5 million house last year.
Exactly.
So,
they literally have
a huge mansion.
Chris is out of work. He's like teaching online classes.
How dare you? He's doing online catering, sir. Online catering.
But the point is this, though. I mean, look, everyone gets their money in different ways. I don't care how you get your money, but like, they did just move into a new house and not with Dorothy. And I know Candace is getting money from the show, but like, you know, I didn't think about that. And I'm not saying that that's why Candace sued Monique, but it did plant a seed in my head. Like, man, maybe there's a chance they were just like, this is a way for us to get some money.
Yeah. I mean, look, if someone started a fight with me, I would probably try and sue them. Shoot, I'll slip on a floor in a 7-Eleven on purpose.
Like, well, I know who you won't be suing.
Me, okay?
There.
Those ho-hos were on the wrong rack, okay? This is your fault. Commercials. Here comes one right now. So Candace just keeps kind of yelling over her. She's like, false. And Monique says, well, I'm just telling you what her attorney told my attorney. Candace is like, her attorney is a philanderer and a liar. Oh, okay. So you have a problem with philanderers now and liars as well? Candace, and, look to your right.
Yeah, look to the network that you're on.
And left, actually.
So Monique goes, look in all directions. Who knows? The cameraman, I don't trust him. So Monique is like, well, my attorney's the top attorney for criminal defense in D.C. And Andy goes, Bill Barr. And he just like laughs at his own joke. And like, no one else really even laughs at it. Actually, no, everyone laughs. And then Monique just stares at him like, I could have gone to jail and you're cracking jokes about this.
Yeah. Like, what does Roseanne Barr have to do with this? And Andy's like, you wrote a legal statement against Candace Ashley. Was that an easy decision for you?
Absolutely, Andy. It was.
Candace just over there piping up
in
at
her
every
giant
question.
Bow. Let's not forget that this is all happening while she has like just a giant, giant yellow bow on her boobs.
Yeah. So Ashley's like, well, considering what lied in the balance, yes. And being in the situation with Michael where someone was trying to paint litigation against us, I knew what painting litigation felt like, Andy. Like, are we coming out with a new painting game for the Real Housewives of Potomac?
Painting litigation.
Why does everybody keep saying painting litigation?
So then Andy's like, well, in Portugal, Candace told Ashley that Monique talked shit about her. Did Ashley believe it? And it's like, dun, 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 commercial. I mean, we all knew like what Ashley's response was going to be, but I guess they had to.
We just all needed the emotional release of screaming, Jennifer Aniston doesn't use Aveeno, okay?
Oh, I hate that commercial where Jennifer Aniston pretends to be, like, friends with this random lady from Central Casting. Like, she's like, hey, Janet.
She's like, Eloise.
Hey, Janet. And she's like, my name is Marissa. Thank you.
She's like, let's FaceTime about Aveeno. I love moisturized skin.
Jennifer Aniston, by the way, is not going to be a presenter on the Crappies. I'm sorry, everyone. We just got the news.
Yeah, we were going to have her until we saw her COVID Christmas ornament. And then we were like, oh, you're out, Jennifer.
Did she have a COVID Christmas ornament?
Yeah, it said something like the year we survived COVID or something like that. And people are like, that is insensitive, Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so we're back. And Andy's like, so what did you mean? And Candace is like, well, there was an evening where I was with the Darbys. I was with Monique and her husband, and they talked crap about the Darbys.
Yeah, and Ashley's like, and then it's like, and then Ashley's basically like, yeah, ultimately, when the time came for Monique to prove her friendship to me, she did. And so, then asking Giselle if she was shocked by the statement, and she's like, yes, I didn't think anyone should have gotten involved in that legal issue.
Yeah. And Andy says, well, Montana from Cowbell, Cow Montana, thinks that Monique and Ashley must have dirt on each other. And Candace is like, absolutely. Like, that's such a bad thing. You know, like, that's called friendship, okay? It's called, you keep my secrets, I keep your secrets. How else are you supposed to do coke together at a strip club?
I mean, hello?
You know, you can't just go telling everybody everything all the time.
How else would we have wonderful organizations like Nexium if people didn't keep each other's secrets and get collateral on each other? Am I right?
Oh, God. So, Monique's like, well, apparently no one can have a real relationship with me. It must be because of something. And Candace is like, accurate.
And then Ashley goes, she's like, well, even when Monique and I were going through our problems, Monique still kept my secrets. She never aired my dirty laundry. So I was like, oh, so you definitely have dirt on each other then. You just said it.
Yeah, and I like that they admit it. It's like, you know, they're like, yes, we do. And that's real friendship, okay? You know, you murder my husband, I'll murder your husband.
Before we move on, anyone else have anything to say? Okay, you, Monique, why don't you go? So now Monique has her big moment. She's like, all right, I'm going to try not to cry, okay? This is not for lazy criers, okay? My dad put my finger...
Wait. I'm sorry. That was a drop of saffron oil coming off of my eyes, which relieves my feelings of crying. All right. Okay.
This is the story called Not for Lazy Triggers, okay? My dad put his finger on my head. It was his way of checking me. It was a bullying measure, and I never realized that that was why that was something that was such a trigger to me, and she took me back to that place. A place in my childhood when my dad put his finger on my head, and I couldn't stand up to my dad, and that's why everything happened the way it happened. And what I'm trying to say, Candace, is that you look like a middle-aged man. There, I said it.
So I thought that the rest of this, when she says, okay, look, I apologize, I'm sorry for the pain you're going through, and the fact that you still haven't healed, and I hope that you heal and move forward, and the fight wasn't about you, and nothing you did in that moment warranted that reaction. Now, look, as far as apologies go...
Yeah, that's good.
Did it start with an excuse? Yes. But it also started with kind of a reason, right? Whether you believe it or not. And the end of the apology, I thought, was pretty good.
I actually liked the whole thing. I even liked the little backstory. It reminded me of vintage Leanne Locken, you know, when she'd be like, well, growing up in the circus or in the carnival, I would see a Trabant and go round and round. And to this day, if I see someone making a swirling finger with their motion with their finger, I got PTSD and I'm sorry. So I like that melodrama.
I was friends with an elephant who hurt his knee. And every day I wanted that elephant to be okay. And he died. So when you got on your knees to propose to me, that's when I stuck a gun to your head and I said, you listen to me, Rich, you son of a bitch. And poked you in the eye. Sorry about that. I'm very sorry that you were in the way with your eye when I was upset about an elephant.
But truthfully, I do think that it was a good apology. And it was like, you know, that is technically what Candace has been asking for. And so Monique says, I just hope you're able to heal and move forward. And then it cuts to Karen doing a lip nod, which is that thing where she puckers her lip and then sort of like it sort of nods with her lips, like her head stays still, but her lips go up and down, like, my lips are nodding in agreement.
Yes, she's the pursed lip nod. And so Andy's like, well, Candace, anything to say to that? She's like, well, Andy. And Candace does this little shimmy thing when she thinks she's right. Like, she shimmies her shoulders and sits up straight. She's like, Andy, I can appreciate the childhood trauma and my hand in your face. The problem I'm having receiving any remorse is that it has been 365 days, Andy. Are we a brand at Whole Foods for poor people? Is that what we are, Andy?
She goes, there were so many things that were said and done after that. That included bragging that she shut me up months ago. I'm like, you know what, though? You tried
There's
to
also
put her
like
in jail.
Dead bloggers that have happened since a few months ago, okay? That you totally railed on social media. Candace.
Yeah, there's that too. But also, like, you also tried to put her in jail. And so, like, you know, and then, I mean, we've always said, like, that Monique could have squashed this, and that was one of her biggest problems in the season, is that she could have and she should have squashed this really soon. And she keeps on saying, well, then next moment I was like, you know, charges were brought up against me. But we saw there was that group thing where she said she had no remorse or whatever. She could have squashed this for sure. But she's doing it now. And Candace is just like, you know, she's just, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's like, I understand it's frustrating that, like, oh, now she's doing it while she's on TV. It's so public, etc. But I don't know. I think that, like, wasn't Candace the one who had to apologize? Oh, Candace doesn't apologize. Never mind.
Yeah. So, well, we'll get to Candace going on about, you know, just basically how Candace played this wrong. Because Candace really was in the right for the first half. I mean, she's been at the right pretty much the whole season. I think her personality just detracts from that. I mean, she was right in those fights with Monique. Monique was coming at her when they were supposed to be friends, you know? And she's like, well, I didn't invite Shasha to that party to hurt you. Like, I'm sorry. And Monique she got way too angry about that because Giselle had her all riled up about her bringing on Shasha to supposedly bring up this rumor. And, you know, it made Monique think that Candace was the one coming after her this whole time or whatever.
I mean, I think that
Monique just totally overreacted towards Candace the whole time.
Yeah, I agree.
And Candace kept saying, oh, well, you know, I'm trying not to fight and I'm really sorry if I hurt you and all of that stuff. And Monique was just too mad. And then it escalated.
I agree. I mean, I do think that, you know, later on Candace says, like, I walked away from every single situation, and she did. And she was actually a lot better this season, and she did sort of control herself more, which was surprising. But when it came to this fight, Monique started by tussling the hair, but it's just like, it's one of those things where Candace is acting as if she had no role whatsoever in creating this fight. And she did. Yeah. She did grab those lapels.
Well, and you can avoid doing it. You can avoid doing it a million times, but then if you do it one time, then all that work is done. You know, like, popping off or whatever. It's like, you don't get credit for all the drinks that you didn't have. You know, if, like, you're trying, if you're in recovery or if something like that, and you're like, I didn't drink all those days. It's like, yeah, but I just drank.
Yeah. And you know what? That you would have, you would, I think
probably
I would give her some credit for that stuff. If she has made this fight seem like a very, very black and white fight. Like, it is all Monique. Monique was this, like, unhinged aggressor. And nothing but that. And Candace was just this sweet girl cracking jokes. And that's that. And that wasn't that. And on top of that, I have a real issue with the fact that she raised this to the courts, because I just think it's frivolous. And, you know, not saying the pain of getting your head slammed onto a table is frivolous, but I think that ultimately this was a fight that they were like, again, it wasn't as earlier in the season we thought it was, but now having really looked at it, I don't think it was just like 100% Monique, and I just don't think it was something that needed to go to that level, and that's where I really kind of lost a lot of respect for Candace in this situation.
Well, Monique is so Candace is saying, you know, so much has happened since that fight, and now you're apologizing, you know, including that you were on Twitter saying, well, I shut her up. And Monique's like, well, yeah, but that was in response to, and she goes, I did not interrupt you, Monique. I did not interrupt you. You've interrupted every her this entire time. Like, every sentence you've said something, yeah. you know, or muttered, not even muttered, you know. So, Candace is like, you have been scratching my face out of pictures on social media. You wrote a song about me, and I know that was about me. And she said it wasn't about me. It was about bullying and standing up for yourself. It was such an assault on my intelligence, on everyone's intelligence up here. You are painting an assault on my intelligence.
And so we find out about the song. It's called Drag Queen. And Monique tells Andy. So now, once again, this is where it's like, oh, Monique, I was trying to support you here, but this is not good. So she goes,
this is so
she's
funny.
Like, well, my therapist wanted me to write Candace a letter, and I said, I don't feel comfortable doing that. You know, before my kids, I used to write songs. So, you know, I wrote this song, and the title and the hook came later. I'm like, okay, thank you for the behind the music on this. When the title, we're going to have to put you on, what was that, Song Star, whatever it is on Netflix. She's like, yeah, the song is a culmination of a lot of things in my whole entire life. I'm like, this is already making me cringe. I don't know what it is. It's making me cringe. Just write the letter.
Therapy. It's therapy, Andy. It's therapy, okay? And so Candace whips out her phone, and she shimmies, you know, sits up straight. And she's like, I was born ready, but I'm never done. Try 10 looks to try the right one. Be careful what you wish, don't you dare, hun. Tried to warn you, the message wasn't clear, hun. And Monique is just mouthing all the words because she's like totally proud of her song.
And she's also explaining along, and she's like, so when Candace says a lyric like, tried to warn you, see the message wasn't clear, hon, and Monique's like, because I gave you a warning in the fight. Yeah, go on.
In this song that's not about you at all. And she's like, I'm a woman of my word because I'm fair, hon. Gave you what you asked for because I care, hon. Now you feel me. Now you see me. Exaggerate the eyes, feeling really pretty. And Monique's like, well, when you're right, you know, Monique wants her to keep going because, like, she loves her own song.
She really does. She's, like, so excited about this.
I think that, in general, writing a song about kicking somebody's ass when you're trying to apologize is not really a great idea. And then saying that it was just for therapy when you're, like, trying to sell it and then making music videos.
See, if it was part of therapy, then you write the song and you keep it to yourself.
At the same time, these lyrics are pretty tame.
I think they're pretty tame. I think they're just like, it's to me, it's like a big whatever. But Candace is like, you're bragging about attacking me physically. You're bragging. And Andy does ask a question that I think is valid. Where he goes, what part of you thinks that that's going to be well received by her? And she's like, well, it's not about her. It's not for her. Okay. It's what I needed to say to move forward. Okay.
And Monique goes, well, when I got into the studio, and he goes, are you a recording artist?
Okay, Andy, settle down. She's being such an asshole all of a sudden. I mean, not all of a sudden, but
yeah, he's just getting mean. Like, since when do you have such great taste for recording artists? Yeah. Do you watch your channel, sir? Okay. Could someone please cue Luann to pop in here, really, with any of her songs?
So Monique's like, well, I was recording music before Housewives. And Andy goes, it's not great. It doesn't sound great. I mean, if you were sitting here, how would that sound to you? It's not great. Nah. I'm like, well, theoretically, she just said it was for therapy. So, like, why are you being so mean to her therapy, even though clearly it's not for her therapy?
Yeah. And so she's like, well, I was doing something creative to express my feelings. And if she wants to write a song, then she's free to write a song too. And he's like, but you never apologized first. And she's like, well, I'm not going to offer some apology over social media. And he goes, well, I wouldn't expect it to ever be okay to apologize over so. I mean, he's being such an asshole. Yeah. Dude, she just told you by law, or like legally, she wasn't allowed to apologize to Candace. Like, what do you want? Some fake Twitter
The thing is that, like, Monique probably would have been willing ultimately in a relatively timely fashion to apologize to Candace. But once Candace elevated it to the courts where there could be, like, serious life-changing, you know, like, impacts, I think at that point Monique is the one who's like, I think she should apologize to me. She made me go through jump through all these legal hoops. I think that's where her mind is at. I'm not saying whether or not that's that's correct or right, but I'm assuming that's where she went with this. That's probably what.
Well, he's telling her, well, that, you know, the legal drama was over by the end of that year. And Candace is like, thrown out by the end of the year 2019, Andy. And Monique says, well, when things go legal, I'm taking my attorney's advice. And Andy goes, you know, I think that was bad advice.
Okay, Andy. Okay. She got the case dismissed, so, like, she's not in jail. I think it was good advice.
So Andy's like, so Courtney from possibly another city named after a cow says, you got dragged because you were running your mouth. Can you take accountability for how provoking you can be? This is where Candace really killed me because she goes, yes, well, I'm a wordsmith, Andy.
I actually take accountability for my mouth. I'm a wordsmith. I have a smart ass mouth. I'm good at cussing and fussing. I'm a Pulitzer Prize for my mother.
Word painter. I am the Pollock of word painting, Andy. Okay. And this is where I actually agreed with her because she's like, you know, you have to take a look at the four instances before the winery where I'm being provoked, I'm being baited, you know, and what did I do? I always walked away. And then by the time we got to the winery, I'm like, well, why are we even still doing this? So I was trying to be funny about it. But at someone's expense who was...
So this is where she loses me again. She's right. She did walk away from things. Like when Monique was losing her mind about the fire at the s'mores, you know? It was stupid. It was bullshit. But then Candace paints this picture of herself. And this is what she always does. And she accuses... Later on, she accuses Robin and Giselle of always spinning things. When Candace is the ultimate spinner, she's always like... Here she goes... You know, you can see I wasn't even angry, you know. I wasn't, you know, like I was just trying to have fun in the winery. I was like, this is what it is, I'm just trying to have fun. I'm like, no. There, you guys were all having a nice moment, and then you started being shady and you started bringing stuff up and you started acting obnoxious and you started poking the bear, and don't start saying like, oh, I was just being funny. You weren't just being funny. You were actually in your own passive aggressive way trying to air your grievances out.
Yeah. And she's like, I mean, I wasn't sleeping with your husband. I wasn't taking your money. You know, nothing warranted that. And Monique's like, oh, please, you were doing snake stuff behind my back. Give me a break. And Andy's like, but I assume you agree that what she was doing behind your back didn't warrant that. Guys, she just said that, you know, before you started mocking everything that she was apologizing with.
Yeah.
Like, she literally said the words, nothing you did warranted that response, okay? And so she says it again. She's like, I said that, and I take responsibility for that. And Candace is like, it doesn't hold up.
Yeah, you take responsibility for it now in front of the cameras. All right, let's take a breather, okay? So now we go backstage, and the bros are back there and everything, and they're just like getting ready to go out. And then we come back, and now it's time for the Karen loyalty segment. Like, who is Karen really loyal to?
Yes. Okay. So, yes, here's the big Karen thing. So by a show of hands, who feels Karen was more supportive of Monique? So more supportive of
Candace.
Monique. Oh, so Candace and Ashley are the only ones who raise their hands, which is weird. And so Monique's like, can I add that, you know, I had conversations with Karen after, and she held me accountable and told me what she thought. And Karen did say what she thought. And Karen was the one who told that girl to call the cops anyway. So they're all rolling their eyes or press charges or whatever. So they all roll their eyes. But they just brought up in the show that Karen was the one who suggested pressing charges, and we're getting on her about that. And now they're saying that she never held Monique accountable. Right. It's like, you guys, make up your mind. Like, make up your mind why you're going to be so, so offended at somebody. Yeah. You can't have it both ways.
So then a viewer asks if, was Candace, were you mad that Karen said that her position was the most difficult one to be in out of all this? And so Candace is like, that was a huge part of my frustration. And it seemed as if she was constantly making what happened about how hard it was about her. She made it about her when we all know this is about me, as is everything that has happened this season. It's about me, Candace Dillard.
Yeah, and Andy's like, well, you want to respond, Karen? And she's like, well, that one fight down went down, Andy, and it broke my heart, Andy. Let me purse my lips for a second while I hold my chest.
I love these girls, and I saw Monique flick your hair, and that was the start. So let me be clear, that was the start. But then you plucked her jacket, and then I saw the pull of the hair, and then the glass go. It was simultaneous, the glass and the hair pull, the glass and the hair pull, which
at least somebody's telling the truth. Because that is what, in fact, is caught on camera.
So Candace is like, well, I have to say, the sip and see, she's asked her if her opinion has changed of anyone, and come to find out she's speaking about me. And to insinuate I was lying about what happened with the glass I was holding in my hand. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Which,
kind of another good point. She's like, what am I supposed to do? I've got a hand on my head. I'm trying to fight to try and get this person off of me. Okay, yeah, but you hit that person in the face with the glass. Then you were swinging around a broken glass.
Right. I mean, I think they both were in a situation where like she was swinging her glass because she thought, because she was trying to defend herself from Monique. And Monique was holding onto the hair because she was trying to basically keep her down so that way the glass wouldn't hit her. So they both were kind of just like, you know what? This is a great lesson to everyone. Fighting is stupid. Fighting is stupid. So don't get into a fight.
No one wins.
Or if you're on,
no one wins in a physical
fight. No one
fight,
ever wins. Okay. So
so she says that for Karen to make her just as culpable as the person who attacked me is beyond me. And Karen just goes, "Hold on, I'm going to do something with my lips."
Okay. Yeah. Monique goes, "Okay, well, that's not the order of events as it happened, but okay."
Did you catch this part when Andy goes, and what's the part about you saying that Monique had a medical condition and you wouldn't judge her? And Karen goes, well, look, Andy, it's because we had work. You know, Andy, I've apologized for that. You know, I was heated. I'm no doctor. And Wendy goes, you know who is?
She couldn't help herself. She couldn't help herself.
Wendy just never stopping.
So Andy's like, I want to talk about the wig launch, okay? Now, you said that you wasn't invited. I didn't lie. Well, it sounds like you lied. Wait a second. Are you going to say you invited Monique to the pre-event, not the event? Absolutely. Wow, that's exactly correct, Andy. Ding, ding, ding.
And
that's what Candace is like.
Candace is like, that's why they're friends. They will literally spin anything.
Yeah. Karen's like, well, I said what you needed to hear, and I withheld info, damn it. I did, but I knew she was coming. But you know what? I'm never going to say that she's not going to come to my event. No, you know, she worked with me hand in hand to create this wig line, Andy.
And Candace is like, what a hero. Yeah.
I love Karen pivoting to make this, make her seem like she is the beleaguered champion of sisterhood during this.
damn it, we were a fractured group, and I withheld information, damn it. I did it, I had to do what I had to do to keep us together, because that's what a leader does, damn it.
And Andy's like, well, the way you ran out of there made you seem kind of guilty. She goes, I hate the word ran, Andy. He goes, okay, the way that you slithered out of there really made you seem guilty.
And then her answer is, the best part is her answer is such a non-answer bullshit, and no one questions her on it or challenges her. She goes, well, I left my own party. And you know why? Because I could. It's like, okay.
Okay, and I did, Andy.
And Candace is like, off-brand, very off-brand. You know what, Candace, just shut up.
I know.
Oh my God, everything that is said is something back from
every
Candace.
Every single
thing. So Andy's like, well, you said you were on meds because of all of this, Candace.
Yeah,
you were on anxiety medication. Are you still? And she's like,
She neither confirms or she nods, but she doesn't actually say whether she is. She kind of lets us believe that she is, but we don't know if she actually is. But yeah, she's like very, as you said, telenovela. She's like,
is there anybody who's not on some kind of antidepressants at this point? Like literally in the world, there's probably 2% of people in the world not on this shit. Okay. And including me. So Candace is like, well, when I sent you, Karen, a private text message expressing my disdain for you continuing to make those two culpable for what happened, and I mean Giselle and Robin, why would you go to Bravo to get me reprimanded
or fired. How could you?
And Karen goes, oh, no.
No.
Which I thought was a funny response.
Candace goes.
And Candace is like, you said I was being threatening towards you.
And Karen goes, you told me to burn and go to eternal hell. And what's funny is that Candace, a second ago, had said, why, when I sent you a private text message expressing my disdain? Okay, and no, you told her to burn in hell. And like, so you want to talk about spin. She's like, oh, well, Karen's the queen of spin. You sent her a text that said, burn and go to eternal hell. And then you tell us I was expressing my disdain. Oh, shut the fuck up, Candace.
Yeah, and Karen's like, well, you weren't being yourself. Well, that's not the girl I
mean,
know.
Karen is the spin master, because now Karen spins this. She's like, that's not the Candace that I know. I mean, that's just not who she is. I was concerned. And she goes, because what you were doing was evil. What was I doing that was evil? So now they are being totally ridiculous, because this fight is so off the rails. Like, Candace calling Karen absolutely evil for that tweet. But then Karen also being, you know, saying that Candace was unwell and she wanted to get her help.
Yeah, it's all ridiculous. Because they're talking about the tweet where Karen said, my heart sank at this clip, because someone put a clip of Robin smiling at this whole thing. And but I spy some gleeful green eyes, hashtag the anointed one, and her hashtag wingman, ..
So Karen goes, well, I called to get you help. I called and asked them, and I remind, and she's talking about Bravo producers. She goes, I called and asked them, and I reminded them that in my contract, they said I had psychological help, and my friend Candace would never threaten me and told me to burn in eternal hell if she was in her right mind. And all I'm trying to do is keep us together, damn it. That's all I want.
We are a family, Andy.
And Candace is like, that's not a threat, Karen. Okay, you don't get to decide everything, you know? Like, Candace is like, well, that's not a threat. Well, you know, that's assault. That's not me assaulting you. That's you assaulting. That's not violent. That's not this. That's not that. It's like, you can't just, like, define every single action, you know? You get all pissy with her and tell her to burn in eternal hell on a text message. Like, it's within her rights to say, listen, this lady is going nuts on me. You know, get her help. Keep her away from me. What the hell? Yeah,
exactly. So Karen goes, well, words are weapons. Why would I assassinate you like that if I cared about you?
I don't believe you. I don't believe you do, Karen.
I called for help.
Karen's like, I tried to help you. So now they're just
like
screaming.
Like the sanctimonious fight. Like Karen is like finding like, because Karen is now realizing that her angle on this is that she was being like a mother hen trying to, you know, look out after one of her chicks. And so then Karen's like, you don't care, you don't care. And just cuts to Robin looking at the camera like Jim from The Office, like, oh, what are these two talking about? Like, this is the most ridiculous thing.
So Karen just keeps yelling that she was just trying to help. She was calling for help for Candace. And I was scared for you. And was I concerned for myself? Yes, I was. I was. A lot of shit has gone down. And yes, we have got to stop tearing each other apart and squirt behind our knees with a little Adam. Do I regret calling your boss? No, I don't.
Yeah, it was like she was in the climax of some movie that no one asked to be made.
Soap Dish. She was basically, you know, in the end of Soap Dish. She was Sally Field.
She really was. So then Andy, of course, then chimes in with his little like pop psychology thing. And he goes, well, I think what is clear for real, because I see a lot of emotion between the two of you, is that.
Unlike with the non-recording artist,
I know,
over there.
Bad music Sally, as I like to call her, is that you really have a genuine friendship and a genuine love for each other that supersedes this show and this forum, which we have to admit is a great forum. Okay, you're welcome. My hope is that the two of you can step away from today and figure out that some way to figure that out and move forward, because you wouldn't be getting upset if you didn't genuinely care about each other. I'm like, Andy, this is... No one cares.
Yeah, be quiet. Yeah, and then thank God Wendy's there. Because she's like, I agree. Who cares, Wendy?
Well, I'm sorry, I meant to say, you, Wendy, I have okay? degree.
I'd agree with that assessment. Times four, Andy.
Is it sweaty in here? Did I forget to put on my degree deodorant?
So Andy's like, let's break again. And listen, Karen, if you can't apologize to Candace, maybe you can apologize to the orange cushion she's sitting on. Candace, get up. Get up. It's much easier with the orange cushion.
On that note, we're going to take a break. So then we see Chris lumbering through the hallway, and he's like, they tried to destroy my family on TV, and it's going to get handled today. Ha, 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 ha.
Oh, oh, oh. So Candace is like, I don't even know how to sit here. And thank God Chris gave me some brown liquor. Gave me something brown. And Giselle's like, what's that, Doc?
His penis saw.
And so Chris comes out, and he doesn't have a zipper up, and it's wacky.
Yeah. And then Andy's like, hi, Chris. Hey, Ray. And Ray's like, hey, Andy. And he just sort of like slowly lumbers over to his chair. And then they keep cutting to Andy doing the thing that like I see always cracks me up. Andy, apparently on break, slouches in his chair all the way down and just has his phone in his face like a teenager. he's just like, hey, Ray.
Yep. So Chris comes out and he's like, has anyone owned up to this plot against our family? And Monique's like, no, they're trying to act like we're the ones who came up with this plot. And, everybody's trying to have fun, but Chris is already ready to go.
Yeah, he is ready.
Chris is like, let's do this.
So then there's like this like banter. And so Ashley is asking if Juan ever played with Michael Jordan. And he did on his rookie season. There's like a photo, et cetera. And then Andy is like, oh, Robin, did you watch The Last Dance? Huh? And she's like, of course, we're at basketball home. And he's like, hey, Chris. He's like, hey, Chris.
He's like,
did you watch that 10-part Michael Jordan thing? It was like the greatest thing I've ever seen. It was like this very, it was hilarious to me because it was Andy trying to bro out with Chris, but he wasn't totally sure if the broing out was going to be well received. So he tried to sort of like be chill about what he was saying. But he's like, did you see that 10-part Michael Jordan thing?
And Chris was having none of it. He's like, I've been watching filthy lies being told against my wife. And if we don't get to owning it, there's going to be some real mess up on this stage. And everyone just kind of cringes. And Andy's like, okay,
all right, I guess we can't talk about Scottie Pippen.
Used up my last dance comment. You have to come up with something else.
I was holding on that last dance question since March when it aired. Like, way to go, Andy. Like, 8 months later, hey, did you see that thing that aired in March about Michael Jordan? Yeah.
You're an athlete. So he gives a basic hello to all the husbands, and we find out that Bassett has sold the restaurant, which I didn't know that he even owned that restaurant. I thought he was a manager, but whatever, live your life. And he's making it work with online catering classes.
And he's also become he's actually really become a huge standout in I don't know if you know about this, Ronnie. He's actually like really become like one of the leading experts on manspreading, because I don't know,
he's gotten really good at nut grabbing. I'll tell you that,
because
he does a lot of nut adjusting.
And those knees, I mean, he has a flexible hip. I mean, at that point, like he looked like a, I don't know what it was. It was just like his knees were about as diametrically opposed as I've ever seen. I'm like, I feel bad for every single person who's ever had to sit next to you. You vile man spreader.
Yeah, nobody wants to sit next to Bassett on a train.
Yeah, given that a lot of the men were man spreading, but his were just like, it was like a knee to the left, a knee to the right.
He was like Monique's Not for Lazy Moms poster.
Yeah, was Not for Lazy
Moms. She's sitting in that yoga pose. Not for lazy knees. Not for lazy carers. he just kept grabbing his nuts. I'm like, your nuts are right in the camera,
sir. Bringing sexy back.
Could we please not? So Michael's not here because of a wedding he had in South Carolina. He will be missed. Lots of untipped strippers for him. Okay,
cameraman,
so Andy,
you can unclench your butts.
We have never seen cameramen with looser asses than we have at this reunion.
So Gisella, real sorry Jamal isn't here. And she's like, he is lecturing Andy.
I'm like, did you mean painting something with words? Because I would really wish that you stuck
yeah,
to that.
Yeah, he's like, what is Jamal lecturing? As far as I can tell, the only professor that's even close to this cast is Wendy.
Yeah, and so he's like, well, Robin, we're also bummed Juan's not here. Hi, Eddie. What was your reaction when Wendy said she was going to do Housewives? He's like, you really think I have any say in what goes on in my life, Andy?
Pretty much. He also asked Chris about T'Challa, and he's like, Andy's like, Chris, you must really love Monique to get her that bird. Huh, no relation to Larry Bird. He's a basketball player. I don't know, sports and stuff. So Chris is like, he's like, that. Then Chris just winds up saying the bird a lot. He goes, well, I love Monique, and I'm not an animal fan, but she wanted the bird, and the kids wanted the bird, so I compromised and got the bird, so we got the bird, and that's now we have the bird.
And then we talk about Eddie's family being assholes and cutting them off because he married Wendy. And they're super sad about that. But hey, it's been 10 years. And then Andy's like, so, Ray, you were pretty open with your feelings about Karen. Ugh. And Ray's like, well, I wasn't trying to be that open, Andy. But, you know, I love her. But am I in love with her? I don't Chilean sea bass, Andy.
Would you say that maybe you and Karen are about to have your last dance? Anyone? Anyone? Michael Jordan? He's a sports person.
Oh, and Ray, he brings up how, you know, Karen's famous now, and she's making her own money, and Rihanna comments on her Insta, so she's feeling herself. And he goes, but she seems like the type who's always been feeling herself. And Karen's like, yes, Andy.
And what was Ray, what was your reaction to hearing Karen say she wants her money back from bailing you out? He goes, oh, I had a great laugh. I was like, good luck. It's all gone. See you in Florida.
Yeah. He's basically like, listen, she spent years not paying for anything. She got a stipend. She got credit card bills she never had to pay. And Karen's like, well, I've said I'm spoiled. So she also raised your children, yeah. Sir. So Andy's like, it's not like some loan you
are
gave
you talking about
sweet.
Raven? Okay.
So Chris,
how's it feel to be out of Dorothy's house? He's like, it's great. Oh, good. So now you can, when you manspread, you knock over a vase, you know, it's your vase and not your mother-in-law's, right?
Yeah. And their sex is much better in the new house because they have to christen every room. Yeah,
so excited about that question.
So then we move over to the lake house where Chris was imitating his sex life with Monique with a big giant bottle. And he's like, I was just having fun, you know, and if anybody was apologized or offended, I apologize.
Yeah. And he goes, well, it was a dry moment, and I thought, let's cut it up. And, you know, you saw the size of the bottle, and there's a little bit of truth in every joke.
But lately, Andy, I'm like the house mom. I do so much with the kids. I feed them, and I do dishes just to take the load off Monique.
It's called being a dad.
Also, because, yeah, it's also called being a fucking yeah, father, okay?
Yeah, it's not being, like, a quote-unquote house mom. It's not, like... Like, there's not, like, a cutesy term for it. It's called, like, feeding the kids and, like, cleaning some dishes is called, like, being a responsible adult.
Yeah. So Andy's like, well, as you can see, Giselle has a security guard.
So ridiculous. And then we see this guy who looks like he is just, like, trembling. Like, he's like... He sees Chris Samuels, and he's like, there's no way I can take this guy.
And he's like, are you fucking kidding me?
He's like, I thought I was going after Michael Darby, not this guy.
Yeah, Giselle is fucking ridiculous. I cannot believe, I mean, of course I can believe
it's
her.
Over the top.
But she is just so ridiculous, and she's just sitting there so angry, you know, looking at her nails. And Chris is like, wow, she's really reaching right now. But this is all because of something he said on Instagram Live. So we see the clip of Instagram Live where Chris is saying, these women are spreading vile rumors about my family. Y'all some dirty tricks. I wish I could Bruce Jenner and slap the shit out of y'all right now. You're lucky I'm a man, because I will stomp the shit out of y'all.
Not great. This is
not
like,
great. This is not great, really. Like, it's this is problematic on so many different
like
levels.
Many different ones. Like this episode is like a great example of like a classic Bravo conundrum, which is like the moment that you're rooting for someone, they do something terrible, and you're like, oh, I'm not rooting for you after all. It's like Giselle brings the bodyguard, and you're like, that is so ridiculous and patronizing, and you're like, that's so stupid. Then Chris says that, you're like, well, you're not great either.
Yes,
Chris
is
supposed to be my teddy bear, and now he's we're seeing the real Chris, and it's not nice.
Yeah, now you're saying some transphobic shit, and this threatening stuff. Now, obviously, he's not really threatening to beat them up.
No.
He's saying he wishes he was a woman so he could beat them up.
Still at first, when I first saw it, I actually thought, I was like, I didn't get the transphobic part of it at first, because I was like, listen, why is he saying he wishes he could be Bruce Jenner? Bruce Jenner doesn't have a history of like domestic abuse. I was like, did he mean Bruce Banner, like the Hulk? And because the Hulk, like, meaning that he wishes he could be the Hulk. So that's what I literally thought at first.
Oh.
But then I was like, oh, I see. He's using a transphobic remark
to go into a misogynist remark.
To segue into a misogynist comment.
God, I feel so bad for racism. It was totally left
out. I know.
Out
I actually felt a little left out as a gay person. I was like, well, I know transphobia is in there, but like, could we add like some homophobia
too? We need our turn. Come on. So Robin's like, oh God, there was no plot. And Giselle says, there was no plot. It was discussed earlier. But they don't have monitors. They don't know. I don't think. Yeah. It didn't look like they did. And Chris is like, can I have my time to talk? It's like, yeah, you guys, they're trying to shut Chris up because they've already discussed this. He wasn't there. And I think, you know, the guy, granted, he just said some super shitty stuff. But he still gets to have a response. Yeah. Well,
it's funny because there was one reunion of something where Andy was like, well, let him talk. There was some husband who was doing terrible things. Maybe it was even Potomac. Maybe it was Michael Darby. But actually in this, and there were times I was like, Andy, they don't really have, like, please, Andy. But in this case, I actually felt like Chris was clearly upset and about, you know, this was about his kid. This wasn't about like him, you know, clearing his name over, you know, groping anyone. And I was like, okay, let him at least like say what he has to say, and then you guys can bounce on him.
Yeah. So Giselle's like, you were threatening women. That is disgusting. And, you know, she just keeps repeating it over and over and yelling how there's no plot or this or that. And he goes, well, I don't want to fight with women, so let's just get that straight. You know,
women are simple creatures. They should not be fought with.
I don't want to be fighting with someone who should be doing the dishes if I weren't being so kind as to do them. Them once in
normally
a while.
I would say I don't want to punch down, but actually in my life that's the only direction I've ever been able to punch. I'm just very tall.
I tried punching up one time and God smacked me on the head and said, stop getting your fist into
I
heaven.
I burned
Thank
my
you.
Wrist on the sun.
An airplane fell out of the sky.
So Andy's like, you know, he said, I love when Andy does this. He like gets his card and he's like, he said, y'all some dirty tricks.
Bruce is like,
I wish I could turn into Bruce Jenner and slap the shit out of y'all. You are lucky I am a man because I will stomp the shit out of y'all.
Hey. Just show of hands, who would be upset if Michael Jordan said that? Anyone? Anyone?
So would you say this is your second to last dance? Or... And Chris is like, it was disgusting, Giselle. You're correct. But I was just so angry. It's still no excuse. But the only problem I have with Candace and this plot you're bringing to the show is if you were her friend, why wouldn't you come to her and say they're plotting on your
Which
child?
Is,
why
by the way, you, why wouldn't you a help really her? Good question, actually. And so then they're all like, no one's plotting on your child. Oh, we talked about this for half an hour already. Blah, 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 blah. And that's when he's like, this is my moment.
Yeah. Oh, really? You mean this segment that you just brought up? Oh, okay.
So, he's first basically like, this is my moment. Just let me defend my child. I never went after anyone's child. I never went, against for anyone's marriage or anything like that. And then Chris Bassett chimes up and he's like, but you support me when I
whatever, other people's children, you support people. And they're like, what are you talking about? Like, the blogger.
The blogger who went after my kids, yeah. He says. Oh, give me a break. The kids that you don't pay child support for. I mean, come on. We all know that. Isn't that part of the show? And how is that Chris's fault? Pay your bills.
So they get, like, really heated in this moment, you know? Like, because Monique's like, what does this have to do with us? And he's like, you support him! So then Chris Samuels steps up out of a seat to be like, okay, everyone, this, like, everyone chill out. Or, well, he's fired up, too. I shouldn't say that he wasn't being a peacemaker.
Yeah, he says pause.
He's out of his seat, but it's like, it's not anything crazy.
He's not charging. You know, they're acting like, oh my God, here comes so then Chris. And he's not. He's going, pause. Come on, you guys, pause. And so Giselle goes, he's standing up. Why the fuck is he standing up?
She's pointing to her. Like,
wow, you've turned into Karen.
She's a literal. And she's pointing to her security guard, and he's like, You just hear that, you know, that cartoon noise when, like, someone's in a haunted house and their knees are knocking, like, he's just he's like, you see me? You see him?
Yeah. And Giselle goes, please have him sit the fuck down. And that guy's like,
good try, Giselle. No way. That's Chris Samuels.
Giselle sucks. So security just ignores her and stays where the hell he is. And Monique's like, Chris, sit down. And he's like, this man is disrespecting my wife and yelling at my wife. And if your man was here, Giselle, he'd be standing up defending you.
And so now Candace, now she's talking to Chris. And she's saying this is her reason why she never told Monique, her alleged friend, that all these women were plotting. She goes, I want you to hear from me, someone who was attacked. Yes, we went to dinner. We were sitting there having a conversation about everybody and everyone under the sun. And a conversation came up about the rumors that were being spread by Gigi. To which I said, that sounds stupid because the baby looks just like the father. And I didn't say anything to Monique because she hears rumors. I hear rumors about everyone all the time. And if I were to run every time I heard something that I thought was salacious, we'd be sitting here for 3 days. It's like,
And Giselle goes, true facts.
I don't know. That rang hollow for me. That rang hollow. I feel like if you're friends with Monique and Monique's like former BFF was saying this shit, I think, like, I'm not saying that I would necessarily do it, but given what Candace, her pattern of behavior is, it, like, the fact that she didn't tell Monique, when Candace is like a little gossip herself, okay, she doesn't tell her friend that her ex
well, she might have. So here's the thing, she went on Instagram Live and did it. It's not like it was some private video where she told everybody that. We played it on last week's show where Candace is saying there was a plot. They went to Andy's baby shower. Giselle brought up that there was this, you know, they wanted to bring it up on the show or whatever, and she said it was stupid. So Candace has already said that, which is probably why she's admitting to it now, because that was up there. But they said they weren't going to say anything. Well, it's not like Monique says later that this has been going on for a while, right? And everyone was just not saying anything. So this is where it gets really good, because then Giselle gets caught and just being a total bullshitter.
Right. Yeah.
Because he's like, well, Chris is like, I don't believe that. And Andy's like, but it didn't air on the show. None of that aired on the show. And Monique goes, it was brought up. What are you talking? It was brought up and you guys didn't air it. And he's like, yeah, but if you all hadn't brought it up on the show tonight, it never would have been brought up. Bullshit. So I love that the production totally called Andy on this. So there's a little more back and forth because Chris is like, no, it was on an Instagram Live. So let me ask one question. Anybody brought it up on the show? Did you, Robin, you, Candace, Giselle, what about you? And Giselle, of course, stays totally quiet because she doesn't know if they're going to roll clips, right?
Again.
So he's like, yeah, so he's like, Giselle, and she goes, do not fucking talk to me ever, rah. And Monique's like, okay, go back to church with your pastor. And Chris is, woo! Just all this, like, back and forth. So Giselle gets her chance now. So she's like, do not talk to me, yeah. Can I tell it from my perspective?
Yeah.
When I went to your house before we went to Newburgh, he said on camera, hey, Giselle, this baby looks like me, doesn't it? And I was like, what? Why is he saying that? Why? And so we see the clip of Chris laughing and saying, wow, doesn't he look just like me, Giselle?
Doesn't he look like his daddy?
Because they knew about this rumor. Right. And they're making a behind-the-scenes joke at her, being like, haha, this Instagram Live came
out.
Doesn't this kid look like me? Isn't that crazy that this Instagram Live was saying that there was a plot.
That's what she's saying. That's what she's thinking that he's saying. In my mind, I see that as someone saying, hey, it's my baby. Doesn't like it seemed like someone who's proud of their baby, you know, like.
Well, that's how it came off when I was watching the show. But seeing it now, I'm like, oh, OK, he's referring to this Instagram Live and making light of it.
I mean, because I don't know the timing of that Instagram Live. I don't know when Candace did that. But like to me, him saying, doesn't he look like his daddy, is such a benign thing. And like maybe there's more meaning to it. But I also think the fact that Giselle went to the worst place instead of just being like, oh, yeah, it does. You know, because then she goes like, well, who else would he look like? Who else would he look like, Chris? You know, like, and even that, honestly, that sort of response is fine. That's like a joke, you know. But then that she takes that, like, really, like, that comment, that small comment, and then runs with it. Because then we see a clip of her going to Robin and saying, like, you know, like, because now she says, well, I thought it was part of their personal story. So they're talking about it. I thought it's part of their personal story. So then 8 days later, she goes to Robin and she's like, well, the streets of Potomac are saying the baby's not his, but her trainers, da 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 da. So.
Yeah. And she's like, so you want to bring that up on camera? Because I hadn't said anything about it. And now everybody knows. I'm like, you fucking liars. Okay. You guys are so terrible. Did you think production was not going to show this? They've been saying this whole time, oh, there's no plot, blah, blah, blah. So now they're basically saying that there's been this rumor, but they had all basically agreed to not say anything, or Giselle was not saying anything. But now that he brought it the up, moment was that, a smart ass to her. Now it's like she's free to say whatever she wants.
The moment there was like a hint of an idea that the Samuels brought it up, but then it was like, you know, free reign. Although admittedly, like we didn't see anything else. So it definitely didn't really go anywhere, or it seemed like, I guess.
Well, Giselle was saying she's having an affair with this trainer, she's having an affair. That was the only part she left off camera, but then immediately brought it up on camera when nothing had happened between her and Monique.
Right.
You know? So she was mad because Chris was saying, doesn't this look like mine, kind of poking at her, but I thought he was being good-natured about it.
I honestly didn't even think it was... Or there wasn't enough evidence to indicate that it was a reference to, like, the rumors. And so I thought, I was like, okay, I've been sort of, you know, of the mindset that, like, Monique is the one who kind of brought this to the fore. The way she reacted about Sasha being at the party and everything kind of forced it to the fore, which I do think that she has a role in it. But I think now seeing this, it's like, oh, there was more to it. Monique wasn't just being crazy because she knew
The producers tell them, well, Giselle said this on camera. You know, what are you going to do about it? And she knew that it was a rumor, so that's why she was so paranoid about it coming out on camera. And she kept saying the whole season, like, well, I don't like talking about people's marriages. We need to leave people's families out of fights, you know, and all of that. So Monique's like, stop talking to her because you're not talking to my husband, Giselle. And she's like, I wasn't talking to that dude. The only person that brought it up was you. So now they just scream, you know, you brought it up. You know, you brought it up the whole time. And Chris is like, look, I know my baby was plotted on and it's disturbing. And I apologized. And if you don't want to accept, that's on you. And she's like, oh, my God, why is this big motherfucker even here? Which is...
Well...
She's gross. You know, she's so gross. So Andy's like, well, by the way, I wouldn't want that brought up about my kid. But, you know, we got to move on. We got to move on. What, Robin? Let's talk about your marriage.
So are you guys ever going to get married? And then we have the Juan and Robin segment. And Robin wants a destination wedding. So see you next season at the wedding.
Now we're all going to have financial problems. Yeah. Thanks. I had financial problems, so now you will all go into debt to come to my wedding. Thank you.
So they are moving. They're going to build. They're building a house, and it's going to. They haven't broken the ground yet, but they're hoping to have it done by May, which is pretty fast, I imagine. But I don't know. And then Embellish is going really well, and Andy's like, yeah, but you didn't think that Karen was a good spokesmodel for your hat. Ah, Karen, gotcha. Gotcha, Karen. Burn in hell. Ah.
Oh, so they start talking about her hats, and, you know, there's some, like, light shade between Karen and Robin about the stupid hats. And it turns out that the hats are so great because they're lined with satin.
Yeah.
which are good for your edges or whatever. So Andy's like, so you're saying that silk is good for edges? Wow! Why wasn't that on The Last Dance?
We didn't bring it up on camera, Chris. So then Karen's like, well, I love the hat. I love that. She's like, no, you hate my hat. You threw it on the floor. But then I picked it up.
Yeah, well, she threw it on the floor after you kicked her out of your website. So whatever. So then they start talking about what is this stuff that Michael was hinting at about Juan never marrying Robin. And Ashley's like, well, he said that he didn't think that Juan would go through with it because he was just very comfortable with the relationship was already. That's all. And they're like, anything else? Nope. Didn't say anything. Never said a thing to me. I have no idea, Andy.
Yeah. It seemed weird. So then
the rumors about Robin and Juan are so juicy. Why aren't they ever
what are those rumors?
Like, people all leave Robin alone on the show. Well, I was reading on Lipstick Alley, you know that website? That is a good gossip forum. It's like kind of an old school,
it's run by Liz Smith,
internet forum,
and Cindy Adams.
Hello Lipstick Alley, if you're out there, I love you. I always go there if I've got, you know, any questions about dirt. There's just a lady who claims, and of course you never know who she is. This is all probably just rumors, which maybe is why they don't bring it up. But just that Juan has a girlfriend, and he's always had a girlfriend, and that him and Robin are just pretending to be together for the show, and that's why her house is so small, because he doesn't even live there. And Robin knows the girlfriend and likes her. So they've, you know, according to all these rumors, they're just faking it.
Even their rumors or whatever,
and he has a... Yeah, which I guess is why I never brought it up before, but I mean, I just, it's weird that the word on the street has been out there for so long and no one ever really brings that up about them, but I guess they all really like Juan. Yeah. And Robin is harmless enough, I guess.
So Andy starts asking, so talking about this engagement or whatever, and Andy asks Chris if he's happy for Juan, and Chris is just like looking off to the side, and he's like, yeah, I'm happy, but I'm also so over people weaseling through stuff that I'm detaching myself from all that mess. And Robin's like, what?
And Robin gets so mad. She's what? Like, what?
It's like,
he's like, one day my child will be 15 years old and I will be teaching him how to drive. And then he will get onto Google and I'll say, stop Googling while you're driving. And then he's going to say, are you even my father?
Sir, I have nothing to do with the plot on your son, sir.
But my child will be 15 one day.
She's like, oh, I'm so glad he's not here right now. I am so glad. I am so glad Juan Dixon is not here right now.
Oh, we've discussed it for 2 hours and they explained the context that they brought it up. Ugh.
And Giselle's just going, you brought it up.
And Monique says, you ain't talking to my husband. That's why you don't have a man behind you. Which, by the way, it's like, it's not like your life is more fulfilled by having a man behind you. But, you know, so then.
No, it's way better. Trust me. Just buy 2 plane tickets anyway and put the fucking armrest thing up. Works for me.
So Chris is like, I gotta take a break. I play chess, not checkers.
Okay.
And he literally plays the chess so with like those giant garden sets. Like they just fit right between his fingers.
So everyone's like, what? Now he's walking off? And Candace is all mad, of course. Like, this is a lot. This is too much. Way too much. So then when we come back, Andy's trying to make this segment work with Robin again. So he's like, so, Robin, Michael wants to go to a bachelor party in Vegas. And she's like, oh, yeah, I don't think that they're going to go with just the two of them. And so, Karen, you made a comment about Juan at the wig launch. You said Robin should be worried about what Juan says when he's drinking. And Karen's like, well, I talked to Ray about it. And, you know, I was prepared to come here and say something about that. But we've torn at each other's families enough today, Andy.
I just ask, moving forward, that you keep Ray's name out of your mouth, a little Ladom squirted behind your knees, and a rose petal pathways to the bathtub, and so Ray can find it. Thank you.
Enough is enough, damn it.
So then Chris comes back, and then they start talking about the fight with Michael, when Chris Bassett got into a fight with Michael at the engagement. And Chris Bassett is like, he's like, I don't disrespect women, you know. Michael has a history of disrespecting women, and I'm not gonna let any man disrespect my wife, okay? And Ashley's like, well, a lot of women have said derogatory things about my husband. And Candace goes, because your husband's a creep and he's disgusting. Few times Candace made me laugh. Down.
I'm not talking to you. He has defended himself, and some people perceive that to be disrespectful.
And Bassett's like, well, you and my wife have been at it for years, and I've never, ever come to you. And if I had an issue with Michael, I would have gone to him. Well, Michael did come to you. He came right to your face. Well, your shoulder. But he did come right to you. He didn't go after Candace. He came right to you. And he goes, and he should do it at a separate time and not at a party when I had been drinking. Okay, so there you go. Now you're making rules on how people have to...
No, Michael, but no, Michael was a dick.
Now, Michael was a total asshole. Yeah, but Michael's... the argument isn't that Michael's not a dick. It's that this guy's ridiculous. He got up and pushed Michael across the bar. Period. That's it. Why is it that he gets to say, oh, no, this, he should have said something different. Why is it okay now that words are okay to use as an excuse
because Michael
to
was
get physical with somebody is
because
what
Michael
I'm saying.
Was like,
yeah,
like,
but
you
the whole
woman.
Argument from that side has been that words are never enough to cause physical aggression or right. physical touch or whatever the word is. But now he's like, well, he came at me with words. So, of course, it was okay for me to get physical right. with him. It's like, come on, you guys are such fucking
hypocrites. That's true. Although, it's actually, like, Chris didn't... I mean, this feels weird to say, but it's not like Chris was, like, brawling. Well, if you really look at it, Chris sort of, like... I mean, he pushes him. It's physical. So Chris basically...
I mean, I'm not being, like, over-dramatic about it. Like, you assaulted Michael.
The
I'm
hypocrisy
just saying,
on display.
You know, you did stand up and push him across the bar. Yeah. Like,
so, but we did find out that Chris did call... Robin the next day to apologize for starting a fight, and Michael never did, which totally tracks because Michael is, you know, he is scum.
Yes. And on that note, Michael was the one getting totally physical with everybody else that night when they were trying to keep him away. He kept pushing everybody out of the way.
So, hey, Ray and Eddie, what are your thoughts about it? And Ray's like, well, I'm not a big fan of Michael, so... and you know that, so...
So... And he's like, so you got in a huge fight with Michael Ashley on camera. You stormed out of there. It was as messy as anything I've ever seen between a couple. And then the next day you went on vacation with him. And she's like, well, you know, Andy, I really just had to hear him. And I got a different perspective because this hasn't been an easy journey for Michael on this show. And I have to, you know, I have to see his side of it. Also, I never signed a post-nup. And so I'm basically only getting support if I stay with that pig. So there you go,
Andy. What was
that
about? I got a different perspective. The perspective is that he walked over to Chris and said, like, a very misogynist thing. Like, you have to control your woman. She's out of control or whatever. And Chris is like, don't disrespect my wife. That's the only perspective that matters. So
yes,
so,
and it's also just another year of Ashley making excuses for her piece of shit
too.
Husband. Like,
so then Chris is saying that both the Chris's hate that this whole big fight happened, and Chris Bassett says, I just want my wife back. The woman I married, I only get glimpses of her over the past year, mainly because she's covered our house and posted saying, you are enough. And it's hard to see her through all that mess. But it's not the same person, and I want that back. And if that means not having a relationship with Monique, then that's what it means. And of course, Candace at this point is like doubled over, like, the old me is ruined.
And Andy gives them a chance to say anything else while they're out there. And Ray's like, well, I need to know the date of your wedding because I have a 25th anniversary coming up and we might have a wedding. Just falls asleep. And then Karen starts doing her fake cry thing. I love it. She acts like she literally does a cartoon cry. Like
she acts like she just won an Oscar. She's like, oh. She does the whole thing where she like clasps her hands and looks down like, I never thought this day would come. I never thought. What did you say? It's not La La Land? Oh, damn it.
And Robin's like, what? This is news to you? And Karen just goes on with her fake sob and her speech about not expecting this from rain. I was hoping that we'd renew, but after the last year, I didn't think it was possible. Thank you, my love. And so then Chris is like, you know,
we've had Candace's big histrionic tears, then Karen. So now it's time for Chris Samuels to step up to the.
Now it's time for Chris to take a swing. I mean, I was proud of him. You know, this is like his first time really going for a big fake crown TV.
Yeah. It was really wonderful.
He gave it his all. Bless him.
Like, you know, I saw new strength in Monique, and the main reason she rolled with the rumors was just to protect our son. And that's a real woman, okay, as defined by a man. And we're already in love, but now it's been a couple of times. I just broke down crying, just understanding the strength of my woman. I mean, wow, she does so many dishes. I just did three, and I was like, give me a rest, right? Oh.
I love you so much, baby. And he's like pretending to cry. And then Giselle's just going, Jesus Christ with the fake tears. Give me a fucking break.
They tried to tear down our family, but we got some legit love here. And I've come to the conclusion. I release you of it. I forgive you. Hurt people, hurt people. Go get some help. I'm out.
Yeah, he tells Giselle, he goes, I release you. I forgive you. Hurt people, get some help. And I was like, well, okay, you won me back.
I like to have his voice be in my bubble.
Because Giselle's just sitting there so furious.
Hurt people. He just has this little bubble in his throat. I'm out. And then he and Chris bro it out backstage. They're like, we're always going to be good. You know, because Chris Bassett's like, yeah, we're always going to be good because you're my famous football friend. And if we're not friends, I can't brag about it anymore. So...
Yeah, and Chris, you know, big Chris Bassett, I mean, blah, 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 blah. Chris, big Chris, Jesus, I don't want to say big Chris, that feels
he's
rude,
bigger,
but
he's
Chris Samuels,
bigger, it's okay,
bigger, yeah, he's like, well, hopefully they'll be friends, we handled that right, you know what, you got into it with my wife, but that's okay, come here, little guy,
come nestle into my pinky, there we go,
so they're fine. So then Candace is like, that was crazy.
So then now all the women are doing their makeup. They have to do it themselves, it appears. So they're doing their makeup. And then, all right, well, that's the end. We got 10 minutes to fill, so I'm going to ask a bunch of boring questions. Hey, Wendy, what did you learn about yourself? Considering you can learn anything else because you have 4 degrees. Thank you, Andy. Well, because of my background, sometimes the way in which I orate can be seen as combative. So I want to make a change in all that, starting by never using the word orate to say speak.
Orate?
I mean, you're not giving lectures to the women at the table.
Come on, Wendy. Come on.
I really like Wendy, actually.
So Andy's like, Robin, speaking of love, I'm bored even asking you this question. So glad no one outed Juan's supposed affairs. You put the silk in hats and can't keep them in the stores. How's that? God, I'm bored. Just say it fast.
She's like, journey, full circle.
Ashley, thank God that's over. Ashley, you've been through it. You're pregnant with a second child by a loser. First year, few years, it's all you wanted. And now you realize you've got two Michaels. So how's that feel?
Hey, Ashley, any lies you wish to tell yourself and the audience at the same time? I'm really happy. I'm actually the happiest I've ever been in my entire life.
Well, I can say this, Andy. The mortgage is paid.
Great. So, Giselle, you know, it seems so, so long ago that we started this. But I wonder if there's a phone call you're going to make to Jamal if you can find him.
It's just...
What are you going to do?
Well, we talked in the break, and he said, do your thing. I love you.
It's like Ashley. Yeah. You know, the daily ins and outs. No one can tell me what a relationship is, Andy. It's like, but you can tell everyone else all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Did Monique get to say what she wanted to say? She's like, yeah, I got the resolution I needed. I'm happy where I am. And Candace is still carrying around so much hurt, but maybe she can walk out of here with a little less anxiety. Do you think you can do that, Candace? And she's like,
I came to this platform for sisterhood, Andy.
Oh, just shut up, Candace. Enough
of you. My goal was just to get here. I just wanted to get to this point because I knew I wouldn't be able to bury everything until I got here. And yes, it has sucked today, but it's also been funny. And I'm reminded why I do love the majority of this group.
So Karen got a proposal, and sometimes renewing the vows can be a kiss of death. And she's like, don't say that, Andy. He's like, just I said it already, Karen. She's like, well,
we're not perfect, and we've broken each other in so many pieces, Andy. And to me, this is a new beginning if we're willing to do it, Giselle. I know that anything I say you won't believe. But I look for your happiness first and foremost.
What? No, you don't.
And she's like, and Candace, you've been through a lot. She's like,
Giselle goes,
everyone stand up one at a time so I can give you my opinion on you. Goes,
did anyone tell her to go around the room? It's like, and cameraman number three. We don't know each other well, but I can tell by the way you pan and tilt that you've got an eye on you, and you are cordially invited to shoot our wedding vow renewal video. Thank you so much.
To the man who came and sang my happy birthday message that I sent to everybody for my birthday party, I would like to say thank you. I know you're in pain, and let's please stop ripping each other apart in the key of G thing.
And to the woman at Craft Services, those M&Ms you serve, they're vital, damn it. We all need them.
Oh, so Andy's like, well said. And Giselle's just squinting her eyes. She's so mad.
Giselle, I mean, this is by far her worst reunion. She was just, oh, wow. She was really decimated. There's just nothing that she could do. In the past, she usually has a good, quick comeback for anyone who comes for her, you know? And she had nothing this past two episodes. You know, she couldn't even handle Chris. She couldn't even handle Chris. All she could say was, don't fucking talk to me. Oh, God. Yeah. It was so funny. What? This is so good. I want them all. Well, Monique has already quit, but I want them all back. How about that? That's a hot take. I want them all back, including Monique, because they have such great cast chemistry.
Yeah, and it's over. It's done. Great season, show. Really good job. Loved it. Glad to see Giselle finally get her comeuppance, at least in some way. Loved it. Can't wait till next season.
Can't wait. And then we will have Real Housewives of Atlanta. It's going to be up probably later today, and then we'll have Below Deck tomorrow, and then we'll have Dallas, and a whole slate of Bravo this entire week. It's going to be pure madness. But don't forget to vote in the crappies and follow us on social media to know when the tickets for our live crappies ceremony are going to be on sale, because it's going to be fun.
Yeah, everybody.
We love you. Happy New Year, guys.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
He makes us squee. Richie D.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica, 500 days of summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.